Jim and I are having a heated debate as to whether or not this dog is actually singing "I'm Just Ken" from the Barbie movie. Viral video. Somebody took this dog who's in a car howling and put it to music.
I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be at 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life?
Cute little French bulldog here.
I'm having a conversation. Well, sure, I'm right here. Embarrassing me again. You're getting me in trouble.
You don't think the dog's singing "I'm Just Ken"?
I hate to break it to you, Taz.
It is. Walter's killing it.
It's weirdly enough, I know this dog. You know, dogs have Instagram pages. My wife sends me dog videos all the time, and Via sent her videos all the time too. And I know this dog, and he does have a crazy voice. But I hate to break it to you, I'm pretty sure it was auto-tuned. And you know that piano playing cat?
I thought it was a remarkable coincidence. Because the dog's not singing along to music. Just happens to be howling, "I'm just Ken."
Oh.
In perfect pitch. You don't think it's real?
I don't think so.
I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be at 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of longevity?
Take it, Walter.
I'm having a conversation. Well, sure, I'm right here. Stop embarrassing me again. You're getting me in trouble.
Apparently, there's an original video of him howling, so we're going to have to track that down here to settle this, I think.
Okay. Because I was on the dog's Instagram page. I haven't found the exact one that he's in, but Taz, there's no way. You think just coincidentally he happened to be pitch perfect on each note to the beat
he
on
was
time?
Probably in front of the TV during the Oscars and saw
just
the
absorbed
performance.
It? He was inspired.
Yeah, it's like osmosis.
Do you also think that original viral video of the keyboard cat was actually? Do you think that cat was actually playing the keyboard, not the owner putting his hands?
No, that cat
shirt?
Can play piano for sure. Would you sign this petition? There's a bunch of Gordon Lightfoot's old classmates that have started a petition looking to rename Highway 400 the Gordon Lightfoot Memorial Highway. You feeling it, Jim?
You know I'm a big fan of Gordy. Gordy Lightfoot.
If you could read my mind, love, what
I have no problem with it if there's a fund or something like that, or Gord's estate is going to pay for it. But if it's like taxpayer money where they're going to go up and down the highway and change every sign and it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm not for it. But if it's a symbolic fun gesture that the family or the people
want to
put up,
they want to do a fundraiser,
I'm all for it. I don't care.
A couple of car washes.
Sure. I got a feeling, though. Not how it's going to go down.
Taxpayers will be on the hook for some of it.
We got other priorities, guys.
Maybe just an exit? The exit, all the exits. What about the stretch of the 400 near Orillia?
And called the Gordon Lightfoot Turnpike?
Yeah, something. There's a solution. I thought we were done naming things after people because it always ends up being problematic. Like, 100 years later.
Oh, who knows? Yeah, because he could be fine now, but we could all be doing something that is frowned upon in the future.
Right. Maybe singing is offensive in 100 years.
Oh, it's like a Footloose reality?
Acoustic guitar has been outlawed. Who knows? And then they're going to have to change all those signs again.
Is that what we want?
Now, I'm not accusing Gordon Lightfoot of being a racist, but we all know what happened with Dundas.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't mind the idea. Gordon Lightfoot's music, especially up when you're up driving through cottage country.
It is.
It's great music to listen to.
Yes, it's perfect. Sundown, you better take care. I mean, let's name a boat after him or something. Well, okay.
Maybe not the best idea.
Later that night when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
But, I mean, we can honor the man without, you know. I mean, Highway 400, we all know what it is, and it's easy to say. Like, I'll have 401, 400, 403. It's very easy to distinguish between them.
Thursday. Usually we do this on Friday, but we're going to be off tomorrow because it's Good Friday. So.
Once there was this kid who got into an accident and caught and come to school.
Let's wrap up the week with the news. This is where Jim and I take a news story from the week and we try to fit it into the Crash Test Dummies classic. Devin Peacock is still here. And Dev, since you are a news guy,
yes,
why don't you choose the headlines that Jim and I have to today? Who wants to go first? Me? Jim, you want to go? I'll go.
Whatever, yeah.
I'll go. I think you went first last week. What story would you like me to
Well, I think we need to P. Diddy getting...
Oh, boy.
getting raided.
I do not want to P. Diddy.
No, no. Yada, yada, yada.
Okay, P. Diddy's house is getting raided. I think I missed it there.
Okay, well, yeah.
How soon do we come in?
No, you're good. Yeah, yeah.
Once there was a rapper who liked rapping and he liked making fancy clothes and he knew up and coming stars and he may or may not have been filming them. His house has just got raided. Usher is elated. Okay, got through that one.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Dangerous terrain.
Jim, what is your story here?
I think Jim should do the Toronto police officer who is selling watches from...
dead people?
From dead people.
Yeah, okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Once there was this cop who had a good job and also a pension too, but then he said, not good enough. I need to steal golden watches from bodies. I think it was obvious his name was Boris Borisov.
There's the news.
It's pretty good, guys.
Just the name still, Boris Borisov. Like if you came to apply for a job at Taz Tazerson, I'd say something's not adding up here.
Jim Kelly. He's going for it. The world record for most Easter jokes told in a 30-second time frame currently stands at 8.
Yes.
8 complete jokes.
Yes. I have 11 written, and I want to get through all 11.
That's
I know.
Very ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure that the timer's working here. Don't want anything to go wrong.
Yeah. Okay, no false starts. Perfect.
We got this ready to go.
Yep.
I think that's all we need. Is there anything else?
No, just your patience, Taz. Let's do this.
Going for at least 9 Easter jokes here. 30 seconds on the clock. Anytime you're ready.
What movie did the painted Easter egg star in?
What?
Die Hard. What did they serve at the Last Supper?
What?
All the crucifixions and trimmings. Who is Jesus' favorite soccer player?
Who?
Christian Ronaldo. Who is his least favorite hockey player?
Who?
Connor McSatan. What movie about Easter did Ice Cube star in?
What?
Good Friday. Why do you call it? What do you call it when an Easter bunny day drinks?
Nah.
Hair of the dog. What do you call a serial killer who only kills on Easter?
Who?
Ted Bunny. Which young actor will play Easter Jesus?
Who?
Timothy Chalamet. What do you call a bunny that hangs around the Golden Girls? The Esther Bunny.
The Esther Bunny. How many did you get?
The Esser Bunny joke was the ninth joke, but I didn't get it all out, so I only got eight. I tied the record. Dang it. I stumbled a few times. I could have had it. It was within grasp.
You didn't get them all out, but I think the crucifixins and trimmins might be the funniest joke you've ever told. We'll try to break one of these records.
There we go. Well, I got another one you might like.
Can you repeat that one to me? Because I just heard.
What food did they serve at the Last Supper? All the crucifixins and trimmins. Okay, I got two left. You might enjoy this one, Taz.
Okay, hold on. Crucifixions and trimmings. I know. Every Easter dinner now, I'm using it. All right, everybody, dinner's ready. We got ham. We got turkey. We got all the crucifixions and trimmings.
Oh, Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes?
All right.
I got two more.
Do you want to do them now or do you want to take a break?
It's up to you.
Do you need a moment?
Yeah, sure.
We got time. Let's do it now.
Okay. What happened when the Easter Bunny ate expired Cadbury chocolate?
What?
He got explosive diarrhea.
Pretty good. I like that. Let's end on a high note. Well, we have tied the world record here for most Easter jokes told in 30 seconds. Looks like my 4-year-old daughter Amelia has learned to text message. She must be using speech to text here because this is pretty good. She writes, I just got this text message minutes ago. Daddy, daddy, I love you and I want you to take me to Taylor Swift if you have Taylor Swift tickets. Rainbow emoji, flowers emoji.
You think she spoke to Ted? I think your wife wants a free weekend.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Mommy, how do I spell Taylor Swift?
I got it.
Daddy, I love you. I want you to take me to Taylor Swift if you have Taylor Swift tickets. Oh, boy.
She's young enough that you might be able to tell her you're going to Taylor Swift. Like, and there's like those always like Taylor Swift tribute acts, like Shania Twain or whatever.
Yeah, sit at the back of the room so you can't really make out that it's not Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a singer with a blonde wig.
That's a good idea. Let me look here online. Rogers Center, November 14th, Taylor Swift. Tickets ranging on StubHub between $2,000, this is the low end, $2,592, all the way up to $10,192. Yeah, I don't think we're going to Taylor Swift, sweetie. I love you, though. I love you as well.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't mean I don't love you if we don't go.
Thanks a lot, Disney Plus. My daughter didn't even know who Taylor Swift was, and then Disney Plus put the movie, her Eras Tour concert film, on there, and she's watched it like 5 times in the last 2 weeks.
So she's seen Taylor Swift live, basically.
Yeah, better seats than we'd get for almost $3,000. It's like you're in the front row. We'll turn the TV up as loud as you want it. How does that sound, Emil?
I want to see your peacock, cock, cock, your peacock.
I want to see your peacock, cock, cock.
I want to see your peacock, cock, 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 cock.
Very exciting. Today is opening day for Major League Baseball. Dev, let's talk Toronto Blue Jays. Do you like what you see heading into this season as a Jays fan?
I'm a little concerned as a Jays fan about what I'm seeing right now. You've got a team that, at the moment, I don't think is a playoff team.
Oh, no.
They're starting the year with...
Oh, no.
With some
already?
Injuries.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, no.
Why am I hearing that stupid song on the internet all the time?
It just comes with the territory of TikTok.
Oh, no, 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 no. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know. It's been around for a long time. I'm surprised.
Taz just got on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm surprised just now it's stuck in your head.
Everything my kids watch is, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Back to the Blue Jays.
That's basically the soundtrack for the start of the Blue Jays season because they've got some injuries on the pitching staff and some question marks in the offense. George Springer last year was pretty healthy. That's the good news. The bad news is he wasn't great. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. last year was pretty healthy. That's the good news. The bad news is he also wasn't great. If the Blue Jays are going to go far, they need both to be healthy and great this season. Bo Bichette was the absolute engine for the offense last year, but he cannot do it alone. So the Toronto Blue Jays need some help on the offensive side and the pitching side. Last year, their pitching staff was extremely healthy. It's not realistic to expect that to continue again this year. They need it to happen if they're going to go into the playoffs, but they need a lot to go their way if they're going to make the playoffs, and right now, it's hard to see that happening.
How long do the Blue Jays have to play well before you start thinking, hey, maybe I was wrong here. Maybe we do have a shot.
I think if you get off
Mid-July,
you know, I mean, you can get off to a bad start and still make the playoffs, but it is so much easier to play from ahead. So getting off to a strong start is what they need to do. Now, it's going to be a little bit more difficult because they're starting the year on the road for 10 games. First game at home won't be until April the 8th, solar eclipse day, guys.
Oh.
And they're on the road because of all the renovations happening at the Rogers Center right now. So starting the year with a 10-game road trip, that's a bit of a beast, but if they can weather that, you know what? Maybe that can give them some momentum to get into the year.
Texas King, new in chandelier, and how about this? We got Texas King in studio with us. Melvin, Phil, Jordan, how you doing, guys?
Great, great. Good. Thanks for having us in, Taz. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been up to? I've been following you on social media. I've been playing a lot of shows, been working hard.
Yeah, we've been running around playing shows, and then we came back from our six-week tour across the continent and got right into the studio in Toronto, recorded a new album, so we're really excited about the new stuff coming out in the fall, I think we would say.
Ooh. Yeah. Nice. So cross-continent, you went coast to coast?
We did the Western states and all of Canada.
Cool, man. Yeah.
How's the reception been down in the U.S.?
Good, man. They like it. Yeah, they get the vibe, so... It was cool, our first time playing in Texas, so it was kind of funny. We thought we might get booed off the stage because of our name.
Yeah. Or did they just embrace you?
Yeah, they did. No mention was made, and they loved the music, so it was a good time.
Did you pump up the fact that you were from Canada while you were playing in Texas?
No, we kind of just tried to...
Yeah, we let that one slide. Yeah. Yeah.
Good to be home.
Nobody's ever going to understand that.
Well, this is something we've wanted to ask you for a while. Is it okay to talk about the incident? Has enough time passed?
I'm sure enough time's passed.
There was a video that went viral of... you can't have a song called Chandelier and not try to swing from a chandelier when you're performing.
I was just doing the actions.
Yeah.
This was in Kitchener-Waterloo, right?
Yeah. Like, I do have the audio here, but basically Jordan, the singer of Texas King, crawled out onto the rafters, basically, you know, 10 feet above the crowd, and there's a giant chandelier.
It looked very massive. Swingable. I can understand your thought process.
Yeah, at the Hub in Kitchener.
Pipe cleaner and plastic, Taz.
And Jordan,
that's all it was.
You reached out from the rafters, grabbed onto it, swung a little bit, then the chandelier kind of collapsed in half, didn't fall from the ceiling, but broke, and then you fell into the crowd. First off, are you okay? Did you hurt yourself?
Well, I am okay. And you know what? One thing I should say is, everybody, you got to be careful out there, you know? Don't go jumping out of the rafters.
Good advice.
Yeah.
This is part of your community service. We'll call it a one-time stunt.
They would be cool, though, to if you that's a good market, I think, untapped, swingable chandeliers.
Because
everyone wants to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
there has been talk when we have the budget and we play bigger stadiums and, you know, huge rooms that we'll bring a prop chandelier out.
Yeah. We were just talking about AC/DC swinging back and forth on the wrecking ball.
That's right.
And they do a big stage show.
Well, he does the bell, too, for Hell's Bells, right?
Yeah.
You guys definitely will need reinforced.
Your budget, big boy like me.
A giant boomerang you can throw into the crowd. We got to do a lot of Carrot Top prop work,
watch
guys.
We've got Alex here from the London Knights. Make sure there's no chandeliers hanging outside Budweiser Gardens tomorrow. What do fans need to know if they're heading down before game one for the playoffs tomorrow?
We got these guys, Texas King, London Zone, that are going to play outside on Dundas Place starting at 5 o'clock. But huge playoff party, 4 to 6 p.m. outside of Gate 4, outside of Bud Gardens, and we expect a huge crowd, of course. Tickets are nearly sold out, so it's really exciting.
Yeah, right on. Well, Texas King, any new stuff going to be sneaking into the shows over the next few months here? I know you say the new album's not to the till the fall, but it's got to be tough when you've got all this new stuff that you're sitting on not to occasionally test it out on the audiences.
Well, we might give a couple new tracks tomorrow night at the Bud party, so.
There we go.
Yeah. Right on. Well, do you want to practice? You're going to be saying a lot over the next 24 hours. What phrase?
I'm going to be saying this. I'm going to be saying, go Knights, go.
Nailed it.
Questions here about how things went at the Ghostbusters movie yesterday, Jim.
Yeah. You brought your young son. How'd he do? Because it was kind of scary.
He did okay. Let's play this clip. This is Matt, who called us yesterday. He was a huge Ghostbusters guy. And I asked him, he had seen the movie, I asked him if Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is too scary for a seven-year-old.
No, I took my seven-year-old on Saturday, and she loved it.
Excellent.
No scary moments at all? They weren't going for that at all? Or was there moments that she didn't mind?
No, there was no really scary moments. But again, she's been very immersed in the last four films or whatever that came out anyway.
So, no scary moments is not true.
No?
He was okay for the first three quarters of the film. But you know how movies go. Then they reach the climax and...
got to raise the stakes.
Right. Once the main demon thing is released from its cage or its prison and it starts wreaking havoc on New York, he was pretty freaked out, hiding under my jacket.
What kind of ghost? Is it a ghost?
It looks like a giant blue devil that... shoot snow out of its mouth.
Uh-oh.
Sharp teeth.
Uh-oh.
Glowing eyes.
Mm-mm.
He had his head under the jacket for a good 10-15 minutes towards the end, and he was saying, Daddy, I want to leave. I'm like, nope, movie tickets are too much money. You're staying here, you're watching this.
This builds character. Watch.
The good news is I put him to bed last night, and... he was kind of joking about it and laughing about it. So I don't think I traumatized the kid, but he was definitely freaked out. Part of the problem is it was an IMAX theater. It's so loud in there. And, you know, he's not used to jump scares. Kids don't go to the movies like they did when I was young. This is probably like the fifth or sixth movie he's actually seen in a theater.
So it's also sensory overload.
Yeah, it's too much. He's not used to seeing a movie that big and that loud.
Mm-hmm.
So when a giant horned creature comes towards the screen,
yeah,
it's understandable, right? I liked the movie.
It was good?
I thought it was really good. It's
nice.
Getting iffy reviews, but to see Peter Venkman and Ray Stantz, Winston Zeddemore up on the big screen again.
And they were good? They used properly in the script?
I'll give them kudos, because what they didn't do... that Indiana Jones movie that came out recently, the Dial of Destiny, first part of that movie, they make it look like Indiana Jones is young again, and it was so distracting because they just don't get it right. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? You can still tell that Harrison Ford's face is digitally de-aged, and it's just distracting to watch.
Uncanny Valley, basically.
They didn't do it.
Yeah.
They didn't do it with this. They didn't feel the need to do like a flashback scene with the Ghostbusters when they were young using computer-generated heads.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I appreciate. It was just a bunch of old guys who were Ghostbusters.
I saw a picture of Ernie Hudson. The guy looks ripped. He's like 70-something. He looks jacked.
Yeah, he's looking good still.
God, that Hollywood formula, whatever they're giving these guys, crushing it.
Aykroyd, Murray... They look age appropriate.
Yeah. They always look like a guy, you know.
Didn't look like a picture of health in 1985 either.
Yeah.
But I'd say ignore the critics if you want to have a good time.
All right. Go
check out Ghostbusters. And if you're bringing a seven-year-old, just make sure you have a jacket for them to hide under. And here's one for the Taz and Jim Excuses Hall of Fame. We've been collecting excuses for years. Are you buying this one? Woman says she accidentally handed out marijuana-laced candy to Halloween trick-or-treaters because she wasn't wearing her glasses.
Goodness gracious.
This is a story out of Winnipeg.
Okay.
The woman's just been sentenced. I think she got off easy. $5,000 in fines after she gave multiple packages of THC-infused candy to trick-or-treaters coming to her door back in 2022.
How could you possibly mix those two up?
Her name's Tammy. Tammy says that she ran out of candy on Halloween night and then rushed to a closet in her house, which contained regular candy, but also the cannabis edibles were in the same cabinet. And she started putting stuff in, just stuffing stuff into Ziploc bags and giving it out to trick-or-treaters. It wasn't until she saw a neighborhood post on Facebook saying that somebody gave out marijuana-infused candy that she realized what she had done, and she turned herself into the police.
She was like, can I get that pot back?
And it does look, it's the, obviously, she bought, this is the illegal stuff, where the packaging looks like...
It literally says Nerds.
Yeah, it looks just like the actual candy. Right,
yes.
So I've seen this Nerds. You got the Stoner Patch Kids, and
sure,
and they make it look a lot like the real candy.
Yes, now that is exactly why you don't put it right next to where you keep your candy. Like, how dumb! Like, this is obviously going to be a mistake you make someday. Whether it's you accidentally give it to some kids or you accidentally eat it yourself when you're on your way to work. Like, why would you put the drugs next to the non-drugs that looks the exact same?
Yeah, I guess it would kind of be like if you kept your real gun next to your Nerf gun.
Yeah, and even like you obviously can tell the difference, but if you're drunk or you're sleepy, yeah, you might make a mistake.
You just reach for it on your nightstand.
Hey guys, let's have a Nerf gun fight. Whoops. Oh no, I was sleepy. Sorry.
Maybe if Tammy's husband is the one who is the pot user,
sure,
that you could see she didn't know, but
she's taking one for the team, though. She's biting the bullet. I guess she was the one who
handed it out, and she was crying in court. The good news is, and you know, I don't know if I looked at my kid's candy this closely, a parent spotted it, and no kids, even though she gave it out to multiple children, no kids ended up ingesting the candy.
So the neighbor was a stoner, too. They're like, wait a second.
Daddy will take that one.
Hello. I used to just take the eat mores, but now I'll take these.
So no kids were harmed.
I like how you said she was crying in court. Like, okay, let her off. Again, it's not the worst crime you could commit, but.
Yeah, and a $5,000 fine when you almost got a bunch of kids high on illegal drug product.
It's a good lesson learned.
Yeah, pretty good.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.